welcome to today's edition of This Bar, the Florida Bar. I'm your host, Les Winston. I'm with every weekday from 2 to 3 right here on The Biz, fastest growing radio station in South Florida. And we are talking with victims of the Florida Bar's corruption. My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein. We're continuing the story of Elliot Bernstein. We started it on a previous show, and I want to carry on with Elliot to point out to the listening audience just how serious and how important it is for us to correct the inability of the Florida Bar to do what they're supposed to be doing to protect us from rogue attorneys. In the Elliot Bernstein case, he started out with a law firm here in South Florida, having invented a very, very powerful, very significant invention. It's been considered to be the equivalent of electricity, to bring it to some sort of analogy that you can relate to. That's a very important invention worth a lot of money. And when he took it to Proskauer Rose for work of a patent attorney, they told him that they were skilled in patent work, and but that wasn't to be the case. In fact, what they did was they brought in other attorneys from other firms to do the work, and as a result of being kind of brought in, you know, bringing in attorneys from different places with different experiences, and they having having the ability to recognize exactly what was involved here and the values, it became almost a plot. In fact, it you know, I believe that Elliot would tell you it is a plot that they hatched in order to create a patent pool around this patent to actually steal the values of the patent and use them for their own benefit in deference to the inventor. And so we were at a point in the story where we were discussing, Elliot was relating the fact that these patents, that the patent that he had invented was now being controlled in part by other attorneys who were brought in from New York. And a gentleman by the name of Utley was involved, who used to be with IBM. Is that correct, Elliot?
Correct.
Yeah. And so we were at a point where you realize now what's happening is that your invention, through the devious methods of these attorneys and the attorneys that they are combined with, are making your patent their own. They're using your patent to create other patents in their own names, recognizing the extreme value of what you had invented. And you were involved with the Proskauer Rose law firm here in Florida and several attorneys in New York, and you were at a stage now where you were losing contracts, because when you had contracts written with Warner Brothers, for example, Warner Brothers discovered that there were issues with regard to the patent ownership, or I guess the control of the patents, and they then backed out of contracts. So there was a significant, and there is significant financial harm being brought to you as a result of the kind of the contrivances of these attorneys. Take me to the next step with regard to what you then do to try to protect yourself or to remedy the situation. What did you do?
Well, where we left off was that I should preface your comments there with the fact that they brought in other attorneys, Proskauer did, when I brought them in the inventions, but they brought them in under false, they misled us as to who they were. They told us they were Proskauer partners when in fact they weren't.
So they basically lied to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not false pretenses, it's a lie. They said that they were members of their firm, and in fact, they weren't.
They made representations to investors in the company of that.
So people that were investing in your company were relying on the fact that Proskauer was telling the truth.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And they were surprised when they found that Rubenstein and Joel were with Meltzer Libby out in Mineola.
Right.
And then because they were caught right there, they had to, you know, tell us that Rubenstein was coming to Proskauer, and they were, you know, had bought out because they wanted to get into internet. And,
So they were laying the groundwork to try and make it appear as if they were becoming part of Proskauer if they weren't already.
Well, I think what they did was they went out and picked the guy who could most steal the technologies for them, and then planned on bringing Rubenstein to Proskauer to control the technologies through Proskauer, which they are now.
Mm-hmm.
MPEG.
Okay.
Rubenstein wasn't with Proskauer. He was working on the MPEG patent pool, which was a very small pool of patents that he was trying to create the standard for digital video. And so Proskauer saw that Rubenstein was probably the most harmed by my technology, so they went to him to patent it for themselves.
Okay.
Not for Elliot Bernstein and the investors and iViewit.
Okay, they did. They were doing it for another party.
They were for themselves.
For themselves, I'm saying.
Meaning right now, today, Proskauer Rose, if you go up to their website, lists MPEG as one of their clients.
Okay.
And that Ken Rubenstein controls MPEG and was the guy who founded MPEG.
Uh-huh.
And is the sole patent evaluator, basically gave Proskauer the control of rolling out my technologies on a major basis. Now, this involves, you know, public companies, Google, Yahoo,
right.
You know, that were going to take off. And there might even be evidence that they actually manipulated the Internet stock bubble, knowing that my technologies would revolutionize the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they drove out of business a lot of companies that were ground floor in the Internet through the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
Gobbled up those companies that they knew would benefit from my technologies, like storage devices, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. whatever, encoding mm-hmm. companies,
mm-hmm.
video distribution. And then once they could buy the companies on the cheap or force everybody out of business and come out and emerge with their partners.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand these technologies now, you know, they made new markets. For example, you wouldn't be able to do the iPhone video application.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, the hot new thing on the iPhone without my technologies.
Okay.
That's a brand new market mm-hmm. that wouldn't even exist without it.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of those markets, I think what Proskauer did was knew that Rubenstein could roll it out into the standards. They would then control the standard, and all they had to do was rub out their client, the inventor.
Right, which is what they tried to do.
Well, through car bombing in the end.
Right.
And so, right. Yeah, and everything else. They economically deprived me. They blocked me from due process wherever I went.
Yeah.
And that'll get into that part of the story. We picked up at the last show with, we caught Joe a patenting. We went to Proskauer.
Right.
We said, you know, this is the guy you brought in. What's going on? Is he putting inventions in his own name, my patent attorney? You know, this mm-hmm. is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And people thought we were crazy even saying it.
Who thought you were crazy?
Everybody, investors, whoever we took it to that was involved in this thought, you know, what are you talking about? Your patent attorney's putting patents in his name? It's hard to believe.
Right.
It's probably hard for you to believe, and you're not an investor.
No, it's very hard to believe because you can't even imagine that they would consider doing something like that because it would seem so ridiculous for them to do that.
Well, you remember this. The patent office is bigger than the banks.
Right.
It's the biggest jewel of the country. So if you were planning a coup or siege on the country, you would go after the jewel.
Right.
And the jewel is the patent office. And now you can see they've got an IBM guy that Obama just put in, Campos, running the place, who's trying to make it first to invent, which would, you know, kill all inventors as their attorneys run to the patent office first, like Joe, with your invention. And forget to file yours timely, and for, you know,
so this is this
when
is
your attorney this, becomes your adversary.
Yeah, this is a huge Elliot. I think the listening audience needs to understand that there's a reason why you are the hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, there's a reason why you are a plaintiff in a $12 trillion lawsuit against a myriad of defendants, including all of these attorneys. Is that correct?
Yeah, and that lawsuit's tied to a whistleblower lawsuit uh-huh. of a Supreme Court of New York employee,
right.
staff attorney.
So what happens when you have a huge potential victory or huge potential claim against anybody that has clout, they mobilize every single resource that's available to them in the judiciary to protect what they've done. And this is a pattern that is probably going on around the country in hundreds or if not thousands of situations where there are large claims or where individuals have assets or where there are attorneys who are trying to get their hands on or around the values. These are rogue attorneys. Now, we're not talking about all attorneys. We're talking about the ones that specialize in this kind of behavior. And those rogue attorneys are not controllable because the entities that are supposed to control them, as we've learned from what you just talked about, this whistleblower, they have a systematic way of diffusing complaints against these attorneys or against judges who do things that are outside the scope of what is legal. And just correct me if I'm not paraphrasing all of this in a correct way. This lady Anderson, who worked for the Justice Department in New York, in the state of New York? No?
New York Supreme Court.
In the New York Supreme Court. What was she in this New York Supreme Court?
She worked for the First Department Departmental Disciplinary Committee.
She worked for the First Departmental Disciplinary Committee,
which is an aegis of the New York Supreme Court Appellate Division First Department.
In other words, this is the entity that takes in the complaints against attorneys, is that correct?
Yeah, including all those at the Wall Street District.
Including all those in the Wall Street District. So she's the one that is in an agency, a governmental entity, that takes in complaints against attorneys, and she has blown the whistle on the process by disclosing that in that agency there was somebody who would be a gatekeeper or a cleaner, as she referred to them, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
That would clean the complaints against the attorneys or anybody, or I guess even U.S. attorneys if somebody complained against a U.S. attorney or they complained against any attorneys, this cleaner would sanitize, I guess.
Not any attorney, just ones from what she said in open U.S. federal court were, quote, favored lawyers and law firms.
Okay, so
and
this
to
is
the Judiciary Committee.
Yeah, so this goes back. So this goes back to the good old boys club, the ones that are in the good old boys club, the ones that are anointed, the ones that are the favored attorneys, the ones that are from the big law firms, perhaps, or the ones that who are paying judges or are supporting judges' campaigns or whatever it is, they become favored attorneys. And when the complaints come in against those favored attorneys, the sanitizer would sanitize the claims before they would get to Mrs. Anderson's department.
Well, not only that, but if Mrs. Anderson's department had started investigating, we learned in court, they would try to force the investigator to change their complaints, or they would just actually go in, throw the investigator's report out, and put their own report in replacing the complaint, which is just unbelievable.
Right.
If the investigator, like Anderson, was complaining of that process, they, you know, work to rub you out of your job. And in her case, they physically assaulted her.
Mm-hmm.
Her supervisor was sent to management counseling. But we're in the ethics department of New York talking about this,
right?
Which is just so mind blowing,
right? Well, it's not mind blowing because, again, it goes back to the very theme or
it's
this
the
extreme
total desecration of the word law and everything sacred about it,
right? And it's also a desecration of our constitutional rights, a desecration
at the highest office, at the fail safe.
Right.
These are supposed to be the fail safes.
Right,
and they're actually committing the crimes.
Right, and that's this is the organized organized crime at its highest level, and it's impossible to almost get your arms around because of the magnitude of the power and the ability for them to protect what they're doing.
Well,
and
for example, when you said, these powerful law firms. First of all, they're not rogue lawyers and law firms. They're a coordinated RICO enterprise controlled of several large law firms. Well, one of them that I'm, brought in with this Bill Dick from Foley & Lardner, who came in to cover up the JOA crimes and continued and perpetuated patent frauds. The key guy at Foley & Lardner was Michael Grebe, who's the former RNC chief counsel, and you can see what a wonderful job he's did.
That's
to
a
Republican
National Committee. Is that who that
yes,
is?
Yes, the Republican National Committee. So one of the most powerful men in the country,
right?
With one of the key jobs to that party, the Republican Party,
right?
And you can see that with Grebe's control of the party, it went to hell in a bucket. Is the only way you could describe it.
Yeah.
he is the cause of all that. And when Grebe knew that he and his firm were under investigation and that we had busted them, you can imagine that he called every dirty guy on the Republican National Committee's former list of Nixon cronies, and all of a sudden our country became infected with people like, you know, Rumsfeld and, you know, outright losers from the past, to be quite frank. Cheney was probably the biggest losing politician ever, meaning everything he touched went awry. And so all of a sudden, Grebe, to seize control, and this is where he knew he would lose $1 billion, his fortune, they were busted, they were under investigation, their name was, the Foley and Lardner name was on a patent in Brian Utley's name for one of my inventions without any other inventors. I mean, they were dead, they were caught. The evidence was out. I circulated it.
So what did they do to protect themselves?
Well, I say that Grebe, you know, who's a former West Point cadet, threw a coup on the United States and through election manipulation and fraud, pulled a coup on the country. He rigged elections. He was already in the process, I believe, through the Federalist Society, which is the, you know, group of guys trying to destroy the federal court system. And are close to doing it, by the way. And so he was a big, you know, guy in this cabal already of corrupt attorneys. So here was the chance and the need to overthrow the country. Well, look what they did. They got in. They, you know, if I'm correct, they threw the presidential election with Judge Jorge Labarga, who got elected to the Supreme Court, funny enough, while he's in a lawsuit with me. I wonder if he disclosed that when he was going for a Supreme Court nomination, that he was in a $12 trillion lawsuit federally. And I wonder if, you know, the great, you know, people of Florida know all about this history, and he's, you know, I'm sure reported it to, you know, all liability carriers, etc. But what Labarga did was he threw the election. He usurped the people's recount and threw it up to the Supreme Court goons who were already in place blocking me. So there were already a bunch of bad guys there.
This is in Florida now you're talking about.
Yeah, this is the Florida Bush v. Gore election.
And so
orchestrated by lawyers like Proskauer and Foley, who knew that they were about to go to prison for the next 30 years if they were busted fraudulently filing patents, you know.
So do you think, let me ask you a question, do you think if Gore was elected it would have changed things?
No. Because they were going to get to whoever it was. And Proskauer has the Democratic influence, whereas Foley had the Republican influence, so they would have got to him.
It's really what we're talking about here is the influence of lawyers and law firms on this country.
The takeover of this country.
I don't want to politicize it. What I want to do is I want to uncover the fact that there are, you know, that there's organized lawyers.
On both sides, Republican and Democrat.
Exactly. And they'll do whatever they have to do to protect themselves, whether they're Democrats or Republicans. They're protecting themselves as lawyers, and they're infested in all of the other branches of government. So there's no recourse against them because there's no separation of powers. My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein, and we are discussing a really interesting case, a huge case in the terms of litigation today in the United States. It's probably the largest case right now that has been brought in the courts from a standpoint of damages at $12 trillion. There's nothing that I've ever heard that's larger than that. And the main individual is Elliot Bernstein, whose inventions were stolen from him by attorneys and by a series of protectionist and organized arrangements against him. We'll be right back with Elliot Bernstein. Don't go away. This is This Bar, the Florida Bar. I'm your host, Les Winston. I'm with you every day from 2 to 3 p.m. right here on The Biz, the fastest growing radio station in South Florida. And we are discussing with victims of the Florida Bar's corruption. We are talking about this so that the folks get a handle on what it is that's going on. This is not just a local issue. It's not an issue here in South Florida. It's an issue around all of Florida. It's an issue around a lot of the United States. It's very important that we understand that we have lost a tremendous control in our system of checks and balances by virtue of the lawyers being involved in all of the branches of government. And, you know, it's not the good lawyers we're talking about. It's the ones that are corrupted, the ones that are part of the good old boys club who are basically running the country. We'll be right back with Elliot Bernstein. Don't go away. My name is Les Winston, and I host Disbar the Florida Bar right here on The Biz in South Florida.
The United States Trustees Program is the largest organized criminal element in the world.
In Florida, all other professionals except lawyers are governed by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Only lawyers regulate themselves through the Florida Bar.
Because the Florida Bar is controlling all three branches of government now. We have attorneys in all three branches. There's a system out of control. There's no more check and balance.
This has created a very dangerous good old boys club and a lot of rotten apples.
Sue me.
Tune in each weekday from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. and listen to stories of individuals who have been affected by the corruption of the Florida Bar. We want you to be aware of the problem that we have with this disciplinary agency. Join us every weekday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. right here on The Biz. We're back. This is Disbar the Florida Bar. I'm your host, Les Winston. My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot, before we took our break, we were talking about the fact that we've lost control of the country in a sense to the attorneys. And when there's money at stake, big money at stake, they will do anything and everything they have to do to protect themselves, especially when they get caught. And that's what we were talking about before. But now, I want to go back and I want to focus a little bit more on the Florida Bar's role in this, because though compared to the New York Bar and compared to what has been uncovered by this lady, the whistleblower Anderson, who was working in the New York system of discipline, who blew the whistle on this on another party that was actually the sanitizer or the cleaner for complaints against those in favor. We now talk about the Florida Bar and the Florida Bar's corruption here in Florida, in the sense that they do the same thing, the Florida Bar has a systematic way of dealing with complaints against attorneys who are in favor, and they basically prevent any harm from coming to those individuals. And while you relate your experience, what did you do with the Florida Bar about your situation?
It's interesting that you say that they act like the New York Bar, because in my case, they actually acted together.
in conjunction with the New York Bar.
And it's a fascinating story.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Grebby from Foley and Proskauer now have evidence all over the place that they committed this crime.
And the evidence is clear. There's no question in your mind that if you presented your evidence to a jury of 12 uninterested individuals, they would come back and they would say, there's no question of a doubt that this is what happened.
Absolutely. Okay. And I presented it to federal investigators like the Federal Patent Bar, which oversights federal patent attorneys.
Right.
And they're investigating.
Okay.
And I've presented it to the FBI. They've seemed to lost my file after the investigator said he was going to the patent office to work with Mr. Motes, who's the director of the patent office, OED.
Which FBI office is that?
That would be the West Palm Beach under Stephen Lucchese, was the special agent in charge.
Okay.
He's gone missing. They actually asked me if I knew where he was.
Okay.
Which I did.
Okay.
Because he had said he was leaving to work with Motes regarding the attorney crimes that were frauds upon the United States, mm-hmm. not just fraud against Elliot. These guys had submitted false oaths of application. Mm-hmm. as registered federal patent agents,
mm-hmm.
and these are serious, serious Title 18 crimes, very serious. So,
well, what you said before, I just want to reiterate what you said uh-huh. before, which is really important, that the most valuable thing that we have in this country are our patents.
Oh, absolutely. They're bigger. You can have an invention that's worth a fortune,
and
if you're patent attorney's got the ability to steal it from you, there's a few things that'll happen. A, inventors will stop inventing.
Right.
Because the king owns your invention, and normally when the king wants to claim your invention, he cuts your head off and claims it as his own.
Right.
So nobody wants to be the next great inventor.
Right. So so where we have this system of exploiting or using the entrepreneurial skills and the inventive minds of Americans, what's going on behind the scenes are the slowly the contraction and dismantling of our abilities to protect ourselves and the patents of our inventors.
Correct. And Okay. And where the attorneys are the ones stealing the inventions, the only thing an attorney has ever invented is a way to steal a patent.
Okay.
They're not a normally very inventive club.
Mm-hmm.
So this is about...
Well, they're inventive with regard to protecting themselves and working around the chessboard where their king is going
to
be
attacked. How to steal a patent.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to cover your butt.
Your assets, yeah.
When you get caught, so you got to have people inside the patent office, you got to have a whole thing. I think these law firms have been running way back schemes of taking, you know, estates, taking, and the more and more they got away with these schemes, the riskier they became, mm-hmm. the more they got, you know, they realized their power if they misused it.
Right.
The more criminal organizations realize that if they could control law firms, they control the country.
Right.
And so how did Florida and New York work together is an interesting story.
Okay.
After the election fraud that LaBarga and West Palm helped orchestrate, I ended up in court with Jorge LaBarga.
Okay.
And it, strangely enough, Warner Brothers discovered during their due diligence to do an, we were already licensed. I was working inside their advanced technology labs. My office was in their building in California. I had an office here in Boca. And they came back and said, oh my God, you know, A, the patents that Brian Utley showed us aren't the patents that are on file with the U.S. Patent Office. You need to check that out. And you're in a lawsuit with your lawyers in a bankruptcy with Brian Utley et al. And I said, what?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's in a bankruptcy. Nobody's in a lawsuit with it. Look, here's a brand new Wachovia private placement Proskauer put together. They don't say anything about suits and bankruptcies. And,
right.
You know, what do you? So I called a friend of mine who was a lawyer, and she looked it up, and lo and behold, I view it was actually being sued by Proskauer. And they were in a bankruptcy with Utley and some other IBM people, and they're people from Real3D.
Mm-hmm.
And this is part of the scam that we learned about when Moats from the patent office said that all of Foley and Lardner's assignments were wrong. Well, what it appears has happened, if you notice from my emails to you, I have like 20 companies,
mm-hmm.
some identically named,
mm-hmm.
where part of the scam that they ran on Friedkin was Wheeler was brought in by Utley, who was running Friedkin's company, to patent the Friedkin inventions at Diamond Turf into companies owned by Utley,
mm-hmm.
and at his home address.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick was writing the patents and filing them on behalf of Utley and his company. And so this is the kind of scam where they set up these companies that look and smell like yours.
Right.
And they put in the real patents into those companies, saving the filing dates for themselves and everything, because you
right.
need that.
Right.
And then I believe basically that the scheme they were planning was they had moved technologies into these dummy corporations they had set up.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a lawsuit with Proskauer where we had counsel, the company, and we didn't even know about the counsel, and we never retained them. And it was bizarre. It was like surreal at the time.
I mean, it was litigation that you didn't know about.
Right. That wasn't disclosed in a Wachovia private placement, a bankruptcy, assets transferring in the background.
Okay.
Perhaps
so now
the
Warner,
technologies transferring to Enron.
Yeah. So Warner Brother brings this to your attention. You investigate and you find out that this is going on.
I go into a courtroom. First of all, we fire everybody.
What do you mean everybody?
We fire everybody. We fire Utley. We fire the whole company goes down, and we shut down Boca overnight. The minute you know we catch on to some of this in 2001,
right.
And we get rid of them all.
Okay.
And we go to look at what these cases are. So
when you say we, who's the we?
We just, you know, the investors and interested parties and, you know, people who are...
The people who were in your organized entity.
Right. I had like several hundred NDAs with, you know, Fortune 500 companies.
Right. What's an NDA?
A non-disclosure agreement.
Okay. So you have a non-disclosure agreement with a lot of entities. They're all working on the basis that you have the rights to do what you say you have the rights to do, that you're the owner of the patents, that you're the one that's in control, and so you all decide that you're going to fire all of the attorneys and all of the people that were working in this matter to try to get to the bottom of it.
Correct. And the investors, Crossbow Ventures and Wayne Huizenga, they were all part of that.
Okay.
And with that, we went to see what these lawsuits were.
Did you hire new counsel at that point?
Yeah, we fired the counsel that we don't even know is representing us, never heard of them before, because they're really paid by Proskauer, because they need to make their loss. Here's what they were planning on doing, it looks like, Les, if we read the scam correct. They were going to, Proskauer, they stole the technologies to these companies that look like ours. They then were going to have a lawsuit with Proskauer with this absurd bill of, you know, $600,000 roughly or whatever.
Right.
And then they were going to pull a bankruptcy with Utley and these other guys from Intel, Lockheed, Silicon Graphics through Real 3D. And they were going to pull the bankruptcy on these other fraudulent companies they had set up.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the technologies that were in the company that they were illegally transferred to
would become subject to buying.
Bankrupt company as the only asset.
Right.
And then when they folded, when Proskauer sued, they'd have a judgment. Mm-hmm. They'd go to the bankrupt company and say, we have a judgment.
And they would own the patents. And they would get the patents as a settlement.
And they would be a part of the patents. Yeah. And then rename the patents.
Yeah,
now,
so that's
part
the,
of what
that's,
we discovered
that's
when
the
we
other
went to
scam.
Harry Mode,
yeah.
was that there were these other patents in these companies, like patents for zoom and pan on a digital camera. I mean, imagine the worth of that alone.
Right.
That was written into Brian Utley's name without any other inventors. He wasn't even there. He didn't invent anything.
Right.
So, you know, he can invent him way out of a box.
Yeah.
So here,
let's go back for a second again. I want to clarify to the listening audience. This, first of all, my guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein. Elliot is the, it's iViewIt Technology, right? Is that the, what's the actual name of the company?
Well, there's 20 companies,
yeah,
but it's iViewIt Holdings, iViewIt Technology.
But iViewIt is I-V-I-E-W-I-T. If people go to Google that, they'll find out a lot about this story.
And at www.iViewIt.tv.
Yeah.
There's thousands of pieces of evidence.
Okay.
There's the whole story.
Okay, so now what I want to get back to is the collusion between the New York bar and the Florida bar. You fired all these people. Now you hired new attorneys. You go through this. And tell me what the relationship is, again, between the New York bar and the Florida bar.
We're almost there.
Okay.
And so in LaBarga's, what happens in the billing lawsuit with Proskauer is we retain new counsel. Like
okay, and this lawsuit that Proskauer has created to force bankruptcy, and you lose control, and then they have they try and clear the bankruptcy by using the assets of the firm, and those assets are these patents, which are of great value.
And you don't know anything about those companies because they look and smell like your companies,
right.
But none of your shareholders are owners of them.
Right.
They're owned in, you know, these were all done in secrecy.
Yeah.
This was all going on behind the scenes.
Yeah,
what they were going to do probably to me is bankrupt me, force me out of business.
Yeah, it's all designed for confusion, diversion, and for, you know,
it's
making
a complicated patent scheme to steal
exactly.
patents. Same
exactly.
thing they ran on Friedkin.
Right.
So we get into court with LaBarga. And
LaBarga is the judge.
LaBarga
is the judge, right? LaBarga is the judge.
LaBarga is the judge who's now on the Florida Supreme Court. He was at the West Palm Beach Civil Court.
Mm-hmm.
And LaBarga, and by the way, in the crime syndicate, you get a leg up to the Supreme Court if you really do something great like he did, like throw an election or other things like block me in court.
Right.
So what did he do to me in court? We brought in new counsel, like you said, Stephen Sells out of West Palm Beach. Sells came in and, you know, he calls some of the evidence holy grail against him in a taped message to me that's on my website.
Right.
I mean, this is a clear-cut slam dunk. We deposed the lawyers. The lawyers lie through their teeth. They're caught in perjury. Their statements to the bars later don't match up with their deposition statements, creating absolute perjury.
Right.
And So Labarga's got all this information that these guys might be involved in a patent theft, that the attorneys, Proskauer is always representing themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So Proskauer is representing themselves against Sells,
mm-hmm.
and the conflict's apparent, but Labarga's allowing the conflict. We're bringing in evidence that, you know, they've ripped off patents, might be infiltrating the patent mm-hmm. office, conspiracy,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically treason against the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And Labarga ends up disarming me of both of my counsels after.
How does he get rid of your counsel?
He showed up at the courtroom for a trial.
How does he get rid of your counsel?
He would listen to that. You'll love this. Labarga... we were supposed to settle,
mm-hmm.
but we couldn't. So it comes to a trial.
Mm-hmm.
And at the day of the trial, I show up to a courtroom that's empty and black.
Mm-hmm.
I call Sells. He goes, yeah, I just went over there, and I don't know what's going on. The trial was canceled or something. So we get – now, we'd also brought in another law firm, Schifrin and Barraway, out of Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And – they were also representing this counsel at me, and they had just signed an LOU to represent me in all of these lawsuits against Foley, Proskauer, and everybody. They had signed an LOU on their firm's letterhead to pay me millions of dollars, become a shareholder, and fight the fight against all these lawyers. We thought they were, you know, godsend heroes.
That's a letter of understanding, an LOU?
Yeah, letter of understanding.
Okay.
They have a signed contract with me to pay me millions of dollars, get a large share of the company going forward, and prosecute all these law firms and lawyers.
And those millions of dollars were, they would earn that in the prosecution of your case.
Right. And they'd know, they'd actually own a piece of my company. The LOU gives them ownership as shareholders.
Right. So they would be representing, a company that they have an ownership interest in. Okay.
And they were taking an ownership interest to represent us, knowing that it would cost them out of pocket millions to take on these law firms.
Right. And they were willing to do that and did that.
After, you know, 2 years of researching the document.
Right, exactly. It took a long time.
Okay. And so they come into the picture, and Labarga says the trial was canceled, gives no reason, which the FBI guy thought was kind of strange, and disarming of my rights. And he schedules a rehearing.
A rehearing of what?
To reschedule the hearing that was missed.
The hearing that was canceled, they're going to have a rehearing to...
Right, and it wasn't canceled.
Yeah.
He didn't notify anybody. Or, you know, we went to trial thing. There was no notice. There's no document that, you know...
And this is after your attorneys have prepared for the trial.
Right.
The trial date is set.
Sells had done several years of work.
Right.
Schifrin and Barraway several years.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so... Labarga, at the rehearing, what had happened was once I signed the LOU, Schifrin and Barraway told Sells, you know, step out of the case. We've got it under control.
Right.
And so withdraws counsel. So
how did Sells get paid?
Up and said to Labarga, here's my withdrawal of counsel.
How did Sells get paid?
I can't recall.
Okay.
And so Sells put in his withdrawal.
Right. Now you're represented by this Pennsylvania law firm.
Schifrin and Barraway. The very next minute, they walk right past me, and they go up to Labarga and hand him a withdrawal. Well, Sells' withdrawal of counsel says, I'm withdrawing his counsel because Elliot's represented by someone else.
Right.
They walk right past me and hand Labarga another withdrawal of counsel. Never told me they were withdrawing his counsel. And withdrew his counsel.
For what reason? Irreconcilable differences?
No, they said that I was being represented by Sells after they had told Sells to step down.
Okay.
In writing.
Okay.
Okay. And Labarga approves that, leaving me with no counsel.
Okay.
And then he calls me from the you know, gallery and tells me to come up, and I said, hey, I can't represent anybody. I don't know what these companies are all about. I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't an officer at that point of the companies. Mm-hmm. But he screamed at me to get up there now, you know, and, you know, or else type thing. So I went up there, and he told me I have 45 days to get counsel. And I said, well, you just got rid of my counsel, and this is a complex case ready for trial. I have 45 days. You know, what are you talking about, dude?
Mm-hmm.
He wouldn't bend, budge. He ruled, then the attorneys, Sells and Barraway, walked off with all my case files. and had all of the case files and wouldn't give them to me during the time I could have appealed and everything else that case. So I got to the court 45 days later in LaBarga after I begged for a few more days and everything, wouldn't give it to me. While LaBarga knew about the perjuries, had the evidence of the perjuries that Rubenstein, in fact, came to his deposition, said he never heard of Elliot Bernstein and Ivua Companies.
Mm-hmm.
And then documents fell out of the sky at his deposition that were faxed to him that said, from Warner Brothers, we checked with Ken Rubenstein, who opined favorably on your patent.
Right, right.
You know, and Rubenstein was dead at that point. Now, LaBarga had that evidence.
Right.
He had cells telling him. He had Schifrin and Barraway's LOU.
Right, right. So somebody got to your counsels.
Somebody got to the judge. In fact, Rubenstein, if you read his deposition, is so brazen in his lies that all he keeps saying, even when he's threatened by cells that failing to answer is against the law in Florida, he says, take it up with the judge.
Yeah.
Real cocky.
Right.
You know, like, we got the judge in our pocket. You could say whatever. You know, I could do whatever I want in this room.
Right.
And he basically tried. I mean, you should read his deposition. It's a classic piece of how lawyers are bad liars and why they're afraid of the courtroom.
Let's get to the Florida bar. Okay.
So LaBarga throws the case.
Yeah.
He fixes it.
Right.
He takes his briefcase or boat or whatever.
Yeah.
He tells me, take it up with the Florida bar.
He tells you to take it up with the Florida bar. Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you doing? You just let go of my lawyers? This one's got an LOU. I got the LOU in my pocket.
Right.
I'm like, well, what are you doing? And he's like, take it up with the bar.
Right.
And that was his closing comment. I was unbuckling my pants to give him a moon when the bailiff said that I had such a wonderful case, but not to go to jail over it.
Uh-huh.
But I would have shot him a moon right there to tell him exactly what I thought of him in his court decision and his court antics.
Right.
Because it was beyond belief that a judge could overlook, you know, massive crimes against the United States that were being exposed.
Right. He became a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah,
in fact, yes, he did.
In fact, Rubenstein wrote LaBarga a letter that he had his lawyer, who later ends up in the Florida bar issue, Matthew Triggs, write LaBarga a letter saying that I was attempting to harass Rubenstein, who's listed in the Wachovia private placement as I view it patent counsel, and Proskauer wrote the thing.
Okay.
But they wrote to LaBarga saying he didn't know anything, he never billed, he doesn't know who I am, this is a fishing expedition, the whole nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
And then in his deposition, he has to admit that he does know I view it, and he does know me, and he does. And there's documents showing that all the patents were transferred to him, even though he says that they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's dead, and LaBarga has all that information, and this is how they buried the case.
Okay.
So he sent me to the bar.
The Florida bar. The judge tells you to go to the Florida bar to report the attorneys who have done this to you.
And take up any grievance with him.
With them, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Well, I think he told me the Judicial Conduct Committee, which I went to on him.
Well, that's the JQC you're talking
about.
Yeah,
and that's a complete joke, too.
So you can go, he says, go to the JQC, you can complain about me, and go to the Florida bar and complain about the attorneys.
Right.
Yeah,
take it up with them.
So
we've
like,
got it fixed upstairs.
Yeah, that's like sending you, I think your example was where you go to the guards, you go to the SS to complain about the guards at the...
At the concentration camp.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Okay. My guest today is Elliot Bernstein, and we're going to be right back with Elliot after this short commercial break. Don't go away. My name is Les Winston, and I host Disbar the Florida Bar right here on The Biz in South Florida.
The United States Trustees Program is the largest organized criminal element in the world.
In Florida, all other professionals except lawyers are governed by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Only lawyers regulate themselves through the Florida Bar.
Because the Florida Bar is controlling all three branches of government now. We have attorneys in all three branches. There's a system out of control. There's no more check and balance.
This has created a very dangerous good old boys club and a lot of rotten apples.
Sue me.
Tune in each weekday from 2 o'clock to 3 p.m. and listen to stories of individuals who have been affected by the corruption of the Florida Bar. We want you to be aware of the problem that we have with this disciplinary agency. Join us every weekday, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. right here on The Biz. We're back. This is This Bar, the Florida Bar. My guest this afternoon is Elliot Bernstein, and we are at the point in this long saga. But, you know, it's necessary to build the case. We need to show you that we're not dealing with, people who don't understand what's going on. We're dealing, in this case, with a very intelligent individual who has created an invention that's worth multi-billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, and who has been, damaged and defeated in the process by the machinery that's put in place to do just that. And now he's come full circle. He's gone through, the process of trying to recover what has been systematically plotted to be taken from him. And he gets to the point where he goes into the court to have his day in court. The courtroom is dark, and he learns that the counsel that he has hired and that have letters of understanding where they're representing him, they withdraw from his representation. He's now left without an attorney. The judge in the matter that allows this to happen, Judge Labarga, who is now a Supreme Court judge in Florida, he says, you don't like what I did, take it up with the JQC and take it up with the Florida Bar with regard to the attorney. So now, do you do that?
I did, and just to comment on what you just said, the machinery that is not designed to do what it did, it's designed to protect me.
Yes.
And it's the one that's victimizing me. The actual machinery that's supposed to protect an inventor is actually the one stealing from him.
Right.
So all of the protections an inventor has are violated by those entrusted to protecting them. Okay,
right.
Yes. And then at that point, with Labarga's recommendation off to the Florida Bar.
Right.
And at the Florida Bar, Proskauer again representing themselves with Proskauer partner Matthew Triggs, who fails to follow the rules of the Florida Bar, which says that if you were an officer of the Florida Bar for a period of 1 year, you're blacklisted from representing any cases in the Florida Bar.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Matthew Triggs is also in a civil case with me.
Right.
The Proskauer fraudulent
What is Matthew Triggs' relationship? He's the prosecuting attorney for the Florida Bar?
He was a officer of their committees.
He's a member of the Board of Governors?
You'll have to look it up. I have his exact position. But it was an officer position with the bar.
Okay, let me go back for a second. You file a complaint against whom?
Proskauer Rose, Christopher Wheeler, Bill Dick in Virginia.
Okay.
He's
a Virginia attorney, is that right?
But the first one is Florida.
Okay. So you file a complaint against Proskauer Rose. Let's just focus on them. And you allege in your complaint against Proskauer Rose that they've done what?
Stole the patents.
That they stole the patents.
They violated conflict laws.
And you provide proof to the Florida Bar, and you sign that under the oath under a penalty of perjury.
Thousands of pages signed under the penalty of perjury.
Okay, and so you submit that to the Florida Bar as a complaint against these attorneys. And what did you hope to accomplish with that?
Finding out, I also filed with the JQC, my attempt was to get these lawyers prosecuted for what they had done in the courtrooms and what they had done to me at the Florida Bar, and then go back into a civil court with criminal complaints.
In other words, you were hoping that the Florida Bar would prove that these attorneys would take your evidence and would hold the proper evidentiary hearings and the proper grievance hearings to determine that what you presented to them was accurate and truthful, and that these attorneys, in fact, violated the Florida Bar rules and committed crimes, and therefore whatever was being done in the courts would have to be stayed because of the fraud or the wrongdoings of these attorneys. That was your hope. Okay, and going to the JQC was you were hoping that the JQC would say that this judge had violated his judicial canons, and as a result of that, whatever was done by the judge should be voided ab initio.
Correct.
Okay, and so this is your hope, that you're going to them to straighten out this problem of these, what you consider, and anybody would consider listening to this, egregious acts on the part of a judge, egregious acts on the part of attorneys against you. And
correct.
So you file a lengthy complaint with the Florida Bar against Proskauer Rose, among others, and as a result of your, and what happens after your complaint is filed?
Well, the Florida Bar lets Proskauer attorneys represent Proskauer. And Matthew Triggs, the guy who's representing the civil case
right.
for Proskauer, represents the Florida Bar complaint.
Okay.
Now, that's a conflict in itself that precludes him under the rules of the Florida Bar from doing that.
Right, but but
there are no rules.
Yeah, okay.
And they further allow him to violate the canon that precludes him from handling any complaints after sitting on one of these committees of the Florida Bar for a period of 1 year.
Okay.
So he violated that.
Okay.
That's the one I told you about where later they try to write me saying under this new law, well, not even new law, under this law, but what he did was okay, but it wasn't a law. It hadn't been ratified. It was draft language that they threw back at me trying to defeat it. And again, you know, they don't ask Matthew Triggs to put forth a response. They write his response form. So actually, the state Supreme Court Bar Agency, which is the bar is an aegis of the Supreme Court. You know, it's directly under, it is a Supreme Court entity.
Right.
Is doing the defense for these guys. Meaning instead of saying to Matthew Triggs, are you conflicted, did you violate, they write me a letter, the bar, on the official letterhead of the Supreme Court, saying, no, he didn't violate it. He should have, could have, would have, but he didn't. And so, you know, it was the craziest thing in the world.
So we don't. So they say we don't find any probable cause. And
it's dismissed on review.
It's what?
Dismissed on review, meaning they didn't investigate it.
Yeah.
They reviewed it and dismissed it, which was the first response. Now,
did they ever ask you to testify?
No.
Did they ever?
They don't give you any rights.
Yeah, and when they dismissed it, then what did you do? You went for another shot?
Well, no. When they dismissed it, it was right about that time, literally out of the sky fell news that Matthew Triggs was violating, and that we had filed after the Florida ones, New York complaints, where again, Proskauer Rose Partner, former president of the New York State Bar, head of the ABA Ethics Division, Stephen C. Crane of Proskauer Rose, represents Kenneth Rubenstein and Proskauer in my complaints
in New
York.
You can't get away from these guys.
Crane is also an officer, a major officer at the first department where the complaints are filed.
Right. So
he's
totally
precluded from handling them. Of course, they don't tell you any of this.
Right. So let me go back to the Florida Bar because that's the subject of this show. And I want to get this point across because we're going to come to the end. And I want to end this segment with the outcome from the Florida Bar and what we think about that going forward. Yeah, what generally happens is you file a complaint with the Florida Bar, then the Florida Bar lets the attorney know that the complaint is filed against them. The attorneys file a response, and then the Florida Bar makes a decision based on that. And what happened in this case is the Florida Bar dismissed it under the review of the complaint.
And the responses submitted by the attorneys were submitted by attorneys who were violating Florida Bar rules.
Okay, so what did you do then?
I complained about the Florida Bar people who were involved.
Did you have an attorney with you? Did you have an attorney that did this, or you did it on your own?
I did it on my own.
Okay, so your rights as a citizen in Florida, you know that an attorney has done wrong, and you know that these are Florida attorneys. You know that they've done something wrong. You have the evidence against them to prove that they've done something wrong. You take that evidence, you send it to the Florida Bar because you want the Florida Bar to investigate what you're telling them as the investigative resource of the citizens of Florida with regard to attorney complaints. You go to them with this information. They send the information to the attorney. Attorney responds, and as a result of their review of your information, which is given to them under oath, under penalty of perjury, they decide that there's nothing there that they need to prosecute. And then you discover that the person that was involved with protecting the other side, he shouldn't have been there because he's violating Florida Bar rules. And now you go back to the Florida Bar again and complain against him. Is that right?
Correct. And they write a letter saying, using law that isn't law yet, hasn't been ratified or approved by the Supreme Court for the bar rules, and try to dismiss that the rule they wrote, the language they said that he could get approval to representing conflict if he checked with the commission.
Right. So
and that wasn't really a rule.
Yeah, they manufactured something before it was anything to prevent you from having your right to correct what was wrong that this guy did, that Matthew Trigg did wrong in protecting Proskauer Rose, and they won't even give you that. They manufacture something to prevent that. So,
and the Triggs complaint, they didn't formally dock it or anything because it involved now all of the Florida bar people who were involved in allowing
And that's the issue of the corruption, and that's one of the things that I want to ask you as a final statement. Would you state unequivocally that you have been denied honest services by the Florida bar and that you have suffered from obstruction of justice by the Florida bar and by the individuals who are in the Florida bar, the officials in the Florida bar? Would you say that that's correct?
100%, absolutely correct.
We are going to pursue a course of action. We're going to try to force the impaneled grand jury here in the state of Florida that's been impaneled by Governor Crist to investigate the corruption in the judiciary.
Well, remember that LaBarga is on that commission, and Chris appointed LaBarga to the Supreme Court.
Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to push their hand to try to get what's necessary. We're either going to prove that they're full of baloney with this whole thing with the grand jury, or they're not, and we're going to try to carry that through in that system, and that has nothing to do with what you're doing elsewhere. It's just what we need to do here in Florida to correct this problem, to try and correct the problem. This is a monumental, monumental problem in Florida that the citizens of Florida have to wake up to, because, you know, not everybody has this kind of a case. Not everybody has this kind of a size of a case. But people are damaged daily in other ways, either through guardianships, divorces, any dealings that they have in the courts with lawyers who are a problem. And they can't get them resolved if they're in the clique, if they're in the big old boys club. Thank you very much, Elliot. I really appreciate the time that you've spent with me here on Disbar the Florida Bar. Your story is an amazing story, and we will continue to be in touch with you and stay tuned in to that case, and hopefully we'll be able to get something done here in Florida.
Well, thank you very much for your heroic effort.
Thank you, Elliot. And we will talk to you again soon. This is Disbar the Florida Bar. I'm your host, Les Winston. This closes another chapter of the victims of the Florida Bar's corruption. We hope you understand how devastating this can be to any citizen in Florida. Your rights are being denied you, and this needs to change. We'll be with you again same time, same station tomorrow, right here on The Biz, the fastest growing station in South Florida.
My job is to make sure that you do your job. So my jurisdiction's pretty much in your face.